Start off today's message with a simple question. What is the most frequently cited or commonly found command in the Scripture? Is it to love God? No. Love one another? No. To avoid pride and gain humility? No. To guard our sexual purity? No. The most common command in Scripture, the most frequently repeated command that you and I will ever see, is the command to fear not. In fact, those who enjoy doing this sort of thing said there are 366 times in the Bible where God commands us to fear not. One for every day of the year, and just one more thrown in for leap year besides. Now here's the question. Why does God command us to fear not so many times? Perhaps because faith and fear continually wage a war within us, and sooner or later, one of them wins. Faith or fear. Let me explain with an image that all of us have seen at some point in a swimming pool. A little boy or a little girl is standing at the edge of the pool. Their mommy and daddy are in the water, and they've got their hands out. And mommy and daddy are saying, "Don't be afraid. You can trust me. Jump." And you can see that battle between faith and fear on that little child's face. On one hand, everything is screaming at him, "Don't jump. The water is cold, it's dangerous, it's wet, it's deep, you've never done it this before, you can't swim, what are you thinking of?" But on the other hand, there's mom and dad. They're saying, "Jump. They love me. They have taken care of me. They've been trustworthy so far up to this point." And so, what does the child do? Does he listen to his faith and jump into the arms of his mom or dad? Or does he listen to his fears and he backs off? You and I are just like that child. We battle a lifelong experience between faith and fear. If our fears are not conquered, they will not only hinder our relationship with God and with other people, but they will also develop into phobias which will cripple us in one way or another as we walk through life. God's antidote for our fears, for our pressures, is found in Psalm 23, verse 2, the second half. Again, we've been in this series for a couple of weeks, so we've looked at scriptures like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not worry. He makes me lie down in green pastures." And today the phrase, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Last week we looked at, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And we saw how we all need times of rest and relaxation in order to refresh and restore our minds and our bodies and our souls for the journey ahead of us. But God never designed us to only rest and relax. Sooner or later, we have to get back up and proceed on that journey. But if we're to go through this journey with faith instead of fear, there are two key phrases in the scripture that we're going to be looking at today that are very important for us to understand. The first key phrase is, "He leads me beside quiet waters." We know that God is going to lead us. We know that He's our good shepherd. But how does He lead us? Like a Western shepherd or an Eastern shepherd? And the difference makes all the importance in the world to you and I. Now, the Western shepherd, the Western idea of leading, is seen on a cattle drive. Anybody remember the song or the TV show Rawhide from the early 50s and 60s? Those of you who want to admit it. Well, they had a great song by Frankie Lane called Rawhide. And if you listen to the oldies and the goodies every once in a while, I want you to think of one verse from there. Keep them rolling, rolling, rolling. Though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling. Rawhide. No time to understand them. Just ride and rope and brand them. Keep them doggies rolling. Rawhide. The Western version of leading animals is that you surround them, especially from the rear, and you drive them, you force them to go where you want them to go and get them to market. But the Eastern shepherd would be horrified by that version of leading sheep because they would never lead their sheep that way. Instead, Eastern shepherds would walk in front of their sheep and let their sheep follow them. But the question became, why and how would the sheep want to follow the shepherd? And the reason was, the shepherd had spent so much time with each individual sheep, he knew each one of the sheep so well, and the sheep responded to him so that wherever that shepherd went, they would naturally follow him. Now that style of Eastern leadership has tremendous implications for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:14? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You see, Jesus wants us to follow him, not out of fear, not because he is forcing us to go along in that relationship with him, but he wants us to follow him because we know him so well and we love him so much that we will go wherever he leads, even though we don't know where the path leads. Well, what about you? What are you worried about in your life right now? Jesus has already gone before us and taken care of whatever that problem is in our life. Are you worried about the biopsy results that are scheduled to come back in 72 hours? Jesus has been there. Are you worried about the rumored layoffs in your company that are coming in the next 30 days? Jesus has been there. Because Jesus is our shepherd, our security is now found in Christ rather than in the circumstances of this world. And the question is, do we love him enough to keep following him even though the path we're on may scare us to death? That's the significance of the words, he leads me. That regardless of what we fear, our faith can be greater than that because of our love of the shepherd. The second key phrase in Psalm 23:2 that beautifully describes how our shepherd's going to lead us is the phrase, he leads me beside quiet waters. The significance of that phrase is better seen when we put the actual language of the Hebrew into Hebrew language in this phrase where it says, he leads me beside waters that have been made to rest. Now, the significance that in Israel, water is usually found in small amounts of streams flowing down the water from the mountainsides. During this spring, when the snowmelt begins to come, those streams will often go into torrents, into rushing streams now. And you combine this with the fact that sheep are very clumsy animals. And the power of a rushing stream can easily cause them to lose their balance and fall on their side or their back. And because their coats are swollen with all that wool, the wool will absorb so much water that a sheep will drown if it gets on its side or its back. The sheep know this, and so they instinctively fear rushing waters. So much so that a sheep, even if it is 107 degrees out, like it's going to be in a couple of days, okay? even though it is thirsty and it knows it needs water, if that there is the sound of rushing water, that sheep will literally die before it drinks any of that water, because it's so afraid of what that water is going to do to it. The good shepherd understands the fears of the sheep. And because he is going before them, he goes before them and he prepares that quiet pool of water. He takes some rocks or some different things and he diverts waters into an area that is perfectly calm. And then he stands in the water with his sheep. And the result is they trust him so much that they will walk into this calm pond of water, this small area of peacefulness in the midst of turbulence, and they will drink their fill because the shepherd has prepared the way ahead of them, and they love him and they trust him, even though they're standing right next to the streams that would normally terrify them. Now, I want you to consider how this insight applies to you and I today. As our shepherd, God knows where he is leading us. We just went through a whole series on heaven. We are being led to heaven. But in order for us to reach our destinations, sometimes God must lead us by the very things that terrify us the most. And when God's life, Patras, leads us through life's circumstances that are fearfully overwhelming to us, the only way we can rest easy on that path is to put our faith in our shepherd's ability to keep his word and his promise to be with us, to protect us, and to provide for us. Now, with that background, I want you to listen to some of the fear not passages that are found in Scripture and see if you have a little more insight into them. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear. Why? For I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you up. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How about Psalm 46:1-3? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, and you almost get the image of one of these world-ending pick movies, you know, where everything's just being destroyed around you. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, even though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Can you imagine being in the midst of such a natural disaster? And God says, we don't fear. Proverbs 3:25-26. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Some powerful scriptures. And as reassuring as they are, though, we're still human. We still get into those new situations, and there's something about it that fears begin to arise. And I love the story that Bob Russell told about a little boy who was so terrified of the dark that one night he went to his parents' room and he said, can I sleep with you tonight? His dad said, son, you go back to your own bed. There's no reason to be afraid. We're right next door to you. And remember, God is with you in your bedroom. The little boy gets ready to walk into his room. And just as he's entering the doorway, his parents hear him say these words, God, if you're in here, don't you dare move or you'll scare me to death. We know the promise, but we're still fearful. And if that's the way some of us may feel as we're looking at the circumstances that lay ahead of us, I want you to remember that God has always been in the business of stilling the raging waters for His sheep. The best example is when the Israelites left Egypt. After centuries of captivity, they found themselves trapped between a rock and a hard place. The Red Sea was in front of them. The Pharaoh's army was behind them, charging hard. And there was no way for them to escape. Exodus 14 tells us the Israelites, as they literally begin to see the Egyptian army approaching, they can see the dust coming off the chariot's wheel. They can probably hear the sound of the horses and the yells of the army as they're getting ready to close in and kill them. It's all very real. So much so, the scripture says, they were terrified and they told Moses, it would be better for us to still be slaves in Egypt than to die here in the desert. And these were the same people who had seen where God worked miracle after miracle after miracle to free them just weeks earlier. Their faith in God quickly turned to fear. And so what did God say to the Hebrews? Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord fights for you. You need only to be still. And in that dramatic moment, the Red Sea begins to part, and it rolls back like a carpet, and a mighty rushing wind begins to dry the seabed. The Israelites are able to cross on dry ground. And as soon as they're across and the Egyptian army is now still thundering after them, God unstills the water and the Egyptian army drowns. Or how about Mark chapter 4? When Jesus got in his boat with his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee and he went to take a nap. And soon a storm, unlike any that these experienced fishermen had seen, began to blow up so suddenly that they were scared. Their anxiety and their fear began to overwhelm them. And they woke Jesus up and they said, "Aren't you afraid that we're going to die?" How many of us have had that same experience? We're in a calm, peaceful moment of our life. And all of a sudden, storm hits quicker than we can ever imagine. And we go from faith to fear. One unexpected phone call. One unexpected bill. One unexpected fight with our spouse or our children. One careless comment brings a raging storm into our life. And we go from peace. We feel like the storm's going to overwhelm us. We pray to Jesus, but it appears that Jesus is asleep and not listening to us. And as our storm grows worse, our fear and our anxiety grips us so much we can't hardly breathe. That's how the disciples felt. I mean, can you imagine the audacity of the disciples to wake Jesus up and say, "Don't you even care that we're dying out here?" The same men that had walked with Jesus and seen his miracles. "Jesus, don't you even care anymore?" How about you and I? Are there times in our life where we've been so focused on our fears that we question whether or not God cares for us? I have. I'm sure if we were honest, all of us have. That's human nature. And I want you to notice how Jesus reacted. He didn't rebuke the disciples. He just stood up and calmed the waves. I want you to notice the pattern that we're seeing. Sheep panic around rushing water. The Israelites panicked when they saw the Red Sea and the Egyptian soldiers and themselves in between. The disciples panicked in that sea on Galilee. We panic when something unexpected happens to us. And so the question today becomes, what is that raging water in your life? Is it your marriage? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it the future that you look? Is it your health? Is it so many different things. Whatever your storm is, as our shepherd, Jesus is in that storm with us. He protects and He provides and He guides us even through that storm. Sometimes that storm's rising so fast we can seemingly forget our faith. And that's why I love the story of the man in Scripture who says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I relate to that guy. Jesus, I know You're there, but I'm scared. Jesus, I know You're there, but look at what's around me. How? Why? But Jesus says, "I'm still there." I want you to think about this. When fears and anxiety begin to just overwhelm us, faith is simply our refusal to panic in the midst of the storm. Faith is our refusal to panic in the midst of the storm. We know the storms are going to be there, not just once, but more than once. And faith alone is God's antidote to our fear. That's why after on the Sea of Galilee, after He had calmed the storm, He looked at His disciples and said, "Why are you afraid? Is it that you have no faith?" And it's not that they didn't have anything. They just lacked enough faith. Jesus is talking to you and I, especially to those enough of us who are facing a storm in our life or who are walking through a storm right now. And He's simply saying, "Why are you afraid? Where's your faith?" Have we forgotten that Jesus is right with us now? Have we forgotten that He has been with us through every other storm we have faced in our past? And He will continue to be in the future. If God today is leading you beside a rushing stream, and your fears are rising, remember that you have two options. First option, we can focus on the rushing water, and we can let our fears overcome us. Or second, we can focus on our shepherd, and let our faith control us. We can remember that just as there is an eye of calm in the midst of a hurricane, so too says that God has promised to provide us a still pool of water from which we can refresh ourselves even in the midst of turbulent waters around us. Faith or fear, worship or work, those are our choices in life. Let's go back to that little boy standing by the side of the pool. When he finally decides to jump into the pool, into the arms of a parent who is waiting for them, three things are going to happen. Number one, his mom and dad are going to say how wonderful he was, how brave he was, and how proud they are of him. Secondly, he's going to come up out of that water, and he's going to have a huge smile on his face. "I did it!" And third, the next time mom or dad says jump, he's going to do it a little bit easier than he did the last time. And pretty soon, it becomes a fun adventure to jump into the arms of mom or dad. As a child of God, the next time our fears begin to arise, even if that may be today, remember that Jesus wants you to put your faith in Him by jumping to Him into that pool. And when you do that, three things are going to happen. Number one, God is going to say, "I'm so proud of you. You were so brave." Number two, you're going to have a smile on your face as you go through that storm. And number three, the next storm that enters our life, we'll find it a little bit easier to focus on our faith instead of our fear. Fear or faith, worship or worry. Those are the choices we have to go through life as a believer. Let's pray. Father, it seems simplistic to say that it boils down to faith or fear, worship or worry. That's really the only way we can live life. You've said in your word that you've described us as sheep time and time again. Maybe that's because we so quickly let our fears arise. Maybe that's because it's so easy to focus on the sound of the storm around us that we forget that you are with us. So for each of us who are going through a storm today, for each of us who will be going through a storm soon, help us to remember this well-known scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I will let you walk with me. I will let you guide me besides quiet waters that you have made to rest so that I can find refreshment and peace in the midst of the storm. Thank you, Father, for being the good shepherd who knows us so well that we follow you no matter what. In your Son's name, amen. Again, Jesus said, "My sheep know me, and I know them." The question is this morning, do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior, and are you walking by his side in faith and obedience? Those are the ultimate questions. If you have never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we offer you that opportunity and ability so that you too may be part of the family of God. Jeff and Rachel are going to come forward. They're going to share an invitation song. Go ahead and come forward now, guys. And when we do, we're going to stand. We're going to just ask God to bless. And if you have that decision to share with us, please do so. Let's stand. Again, Father, if there are any in this room that need to make that decision to walk with you in a way that they never have before, give them the courage and the faith to do so now. In your Son's name. Jeff?